Hi, this is Bob Familiar with Arcast. I'm at TechEd North America. I've got the pleasure to speak with David Chappell. David is a principal with Chappell & Associates. He's a popular speaker, a prolific writer, and as a consultant, he travels around the world helping folks assess, understand, and make better decisions around new technology. Welcome, David.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Cloud computing. There's a lot of buzz around cloud computing. Can you help us understand that?
It's a big space. It's a really big space. But I think the core idea is that companies like Microsoft, Google, Amazon have big data centers that can be accessed across the internet. We call those data centers, in effect, the cloud. And you can use the machines in those data centers in all sorts of ways. You can run apps up there. You can maybe put infrastructure up there to help connect things. You can store data up there. You can do lots of things. So in the main, the notion is that we're going to make use of these acres of machines that are being built in data centers around the world by major vendors. The rationale, I think, is variable depending on who the customer is. Enterprises, in my experience, often are hoping that the cloud will offer them lower costs. The notion is that no matter who you are, Microsoft, for example, has bigger data centers than you do. And
right.
So their economies of scale ought to be enormous. As we're speaking here, pricing is not yet announced for Microsoft's core cloud technologies. But the hope is that they'll be relatively inexpensive for some kinds of things. ISVs often want other things. They want massive scale. You can get that in the cloud. You can get variable load in the cloud. There's some real appeal there to building applications in the cloud. One more thing I should say. What I'm talking about right now is really cloud platforms, the ability to have these things out there in the cloud that you can build and run apps on. That's one big avenue of addressing the cloud, the one I'm most focused on.
Right.
But there's this whole other big category of cloud computing, which is software as a service, applications that run in the cloud. The marquee example there is Salesforce.com, who've offered a CRM app for, 10 years now. They're a $1 billion company. They have proven this actually works.
They set the bar.
Yes, as a business model, as technology. And so we're seeing more and more applications being offered, at least optionally, in this SaaS model.
Right.
So from a simple point of view, I think cloud computing can be viewed in those two big chunks, SaaS applications and cloud platforms on which we can build applications.
All right. So Microsoft is focusing on that cloud platform space. They have an offering there called the Azure Services Platform. First off, can you help me pronounce it correctly? And the second is, can you give us a sense of what the Azure Services Platform is?
Sure. Actually, Microsoft also has SaaS applications. They have CRM online, a competitor to Salesforce CRM, for example. And we're seeing Exchange and SharePoint and so on moving into SaaS environments.
So they're playing in both spaces.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They're pretty strong in that space. But what I focus on, again, is mostly the platform space. And yeah, the Azure Services Platform is the big story there. You said Azure, I say Azure, some people say Azure.
Right.
I have no clue if there's any one true, correct naming for this. You know, the truth is, I like the name Azure. And in the past, with some kinds of things, I have been fiercely critical of how Microsoft chose to name things. But I've declared a moratorium on criticizing Microsoft naming. I actually like Azure. But in general, I've declared a moratorium. And the reason is that after my criticisms, they actually hired me to help them come name something. And within 20 minutes, I realized this is a very hard problem.
Right.
And I swore to never criticize them again. So I think Azure is a really great name, however it's pronounced.
Okay, very good.
The Azure Services Platform has a bunch of pieces. The one that is the most interesting to most people, I have found, is called Windows Azure. There's some confusion here. Windows Azure is part of the Azure Services Platform. But I will not criticize naming. Windows Azure is, in effect, Windows in the cloud, although it's not quite that. It's not exactly the same as on-premises Windows, as you would expect. There are things you must do differently to use Windows Azure effectively, but not hugely differently. There are some relatively small differences. Other parts of the Azure platform include SQL services. As the name suggests, it lets you store data in the cloud, relational data. Standard AVO.NET accessible relational data.
Nice.
There's .NET services, which has infrastructure to work with identity in some ways to help you connect apps through firewalls. And there's some more stuff as well. But those three things, Windows, Azure, SQL Services, and .NET Services, I think are the main event for cloud-based developers right now.
That makes up the core platform.
Depends who you talk to. In my perspective, when I give talks about this, those are the things I focus on.
Right. Now, there's obviously this competition in this space. So how does Windows Azure compare to the competition?
That's a good question. And there are lots of ways to answer it. One way to answer it is to think about the original vendor in this space, which was Amazon. Amazon were the first people with Amazon Web Services to come out with cloud platforms and show that this works as a technology and as a business. Now, that's remarkable because what we're seeing, I think, with cloud platforms is an enormous shift in how we build apps, a whole new platform style. And it's being led by a bookstore? How remarkable that a bookstore is able to be so dominant in this space, at least initially. It's indicative, I think, of the huge role that technology plays in almost all businesses now. But Amazon's Elastic Compute Cloud, EC2, is the thing that's most directly analogous to the core part of Windows Azure. Like Windows Azure, it provides virtual machines in the cloud. But it's really different, because with EC2, you get VMs that run Windows or Linux, typically. And they're your VMs. You have administrative access. You can install whatever you want. They're your VMs. In Windows Azure, you give the VMs an application, and it will run the app for you, and it will start and stop VMs for you. You don't work with VMs directly in the same way. You can't, for example, install SQL Server on Windows Azure.
So it's a very different experience from a management perspective.
Exactly. Windows Azure is designed to run your apps for you and relieve you of some of the pain of management.
All right, so we've got Amazon. Who are some of the other competitors in this space?
Another very visible one is Google. Google has App Engine. App Engine is not all that much like EC2. It is, in some ways, more like Windows Azure, in that with App Engine, you give it an app written in Python or now Java, and it runs the app. Are there VMs in there? Probably. Yeah. You don't see them. It runs the app for you. So in that regard, it is like Windows Azure. But it's also different in important ways. I mean, obviously, Google App Engine is about Java and Python, not Windows.NET technologies. Uh-huh. But more than that, App Engine is all about supporting web apps. You can't build an app on App Engine, today at least, that just does batch processing. You can't do it, whereas you can on Windows Azure. Also on App Engine, you give it an app. The app accepts a web request. It processes the request, and it returns. And it has about 10 seconds to do that. If it takes more than that, App Engine shoots your app in the head and shuts it down.
So this would be a fairly simple web application.
Or at least one where each request is very simple.
Very simple. All right.
Whereas on Windows Azure, you have your own VM. Your request can do arbitrary work when it comes in, when you handle it.
Okay.
So one last thing here. Is App Engine better than Windows Azure? Is EC2 worse than Windows Azure? No, they're different.
Right.
They address problems that overlap in some ways, but are also quite different. It's useful to have a sense of what you're trying to do to think about a cloud platform in this space.
So if you're interested in this space, you should do your homework. You should do your research and really understand what you get and what you don't get with each of these offerings.
Yeah.
So if I'm an ISV, how should I think about a platform like the Azure Services platform?
If you're a Windows ISV, my opinion is that you need to have a strategy for a SaaS version of your app, because maybe some verticals don't need this, but to a large degree, customers are at least wanting the option of a SaaS, a hosted, a cloud version of your application. If you're a Windows ISV, the place you ought to start in looking for a platform to build this on, I believe, is Windows Azure.
Why would you ignore that market, right?
Well, yes, you're built on Windows already, which means you can port your code relatively easily. Also, Windows Azure is designed to support very scalable, very reliable apps. And that is what you want as a SaaS app provider. You want massive reliability and perhaps, you hope, massive scale, because that one instance will support all of your customers in a multi-tenant fashion, probably,
right.
But there's one app up there doing all this.
Right. Some challenge, so in the air, if you're looking to take your application into that space, things like multi-tenancy are things you would want to learn about, research, make sure you can support in your architecture.
I would agree, although I got to tell you, if you said to me right now, David, what does it mean to be multi-tenant? I would say, Bob, I don't know. Because I can't find the definition that even the cloud platform vendors all agree on. It's an awfully blurry term, in my opinion. But nonetheless, you have to address the core issues
right. In
this world.
Very good. Now, that's for the ISV space. How about the enterprise? So would the enterprise be able to take advantage of Windows Azure?
I think so. Although enterprises often look at cloud platforms and say, I want to save money. All I want is to move my existing apps unchanged into the cloud and have lower costs.
Right.
That is not what Azure is about, at least not today. So as an enterprise, I would encourage you not to think about Azure as a place to move all your current apps unchanged and save money. Having said that, it is possible that if you've got an ASP app with a SQL database, that you could move that to Windows Azure and SQL Services and be happier. As I said, we don't yet know pricing. Will it be cheaper? I don't know.
Right.
Possibly. Will it be easier to administer? Probably. More reliable? Certainly. So there are plenty of scenarios like that where you might find it attractive to move existing apps, or maybe you've got an existing app that runs departmentally where the database is in SQL Server on a machine under your desk. Okay, that's scary.
Yes.
You could move that to SQL Services. Probably save you money, certainly up your reliability, your availability. And one more thing. Maybe you want to build new apps on Windows Azure.
Uh-huh.
I was in Brussels a little while ago and met with a bank, and they wanted to build an application that would talk to their customers all around Europe. Now, this app's going to have to be huge, supporting lots and lots and lots of simultaneous users. Now, that's a scenario where at least the front end might well be on Windows Azure. Now, the actual back end banking data probably will remain inside their firewall.
Right.
But the front end on Windows Azure would let them scale enormously and let them shrink down as well, paying for what they use, rather than being committed to this enormous data center that perhaps is heavily loaded only certain times. With cloud platforms, your app can shrink and grow and shrink as demand changes, and you can pay just for what you're using.
And I like your point about how it's not one or the other. It could be a blending of on-premise and in-the-cloud capabilities to achieve the best end result.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with data, where the data and the code might live in different places.
All right, interesting. So how would you get started with the Azure Services platform?
Right now, if you're a developer, you can go to azure.com, and you can download the Windows Azure SDK. There are SDKs for other parts of the platform as well. For Windows Azure, the part that I find most folks care the most about, the SDK includes a desktop facsimile of the cloud environment. You can actually build a full-tilt Windows Azure app on Vista or Windows Server on your desktop and have the whole experience right there. And when you're ready, you can upload the app through the web portal onto Windows Azure, and it just happily runs, you hope.
Nice. Yeah. Fairly easy way to get started. Then.
Yes, yes.
Well, one thing is for sure, our industry is never boring, David, and as you are never boring, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a great interview.
My pleasure.